Psalms 34, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 and one verse in particular which caught my attention. Psalms 34. Let's read the first 10 verses. And then we'll look at verse 7. I, says David, will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The verse we're going to look at is verse 7. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. That'll be our main text, so keep your finger there if you would, in Psalms 34. But Exodus, turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 17. Pharaoh is, the Israelites are out of the out of Egypt and the being pursued by the by Pharaoh. Pharaoh's pursuing the Israelites. In verse 17, and behold, and I says God, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Now look with me at verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face, and stood behind them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, to the Israelites, so that one came not near the other all night. So this angel of the Lord did this. He made sure that the Israelites were protected. Couldn't get through. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23 and verses 20 and 23. Exodus 23. Verse 20 and 23. Behold, I send an angel, or the angel, before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. And verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Notice the phrasing, notice the particular pronoun, the names, for mine angel will bring you. And then he says, and I will cut them off. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Verses 2 and 12 through 14. Exodus chapter 33, verse 2, "And I will send an angel," or "the angel before thee." This is the same phrasing. "And I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite." Now look at verses 12, 13, and 14. This is Moses says, "I pray thee, or Moses, verse 12, said unto the Lord, see that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and that thou not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And Moses said, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Now remember what we read in verse 2. Remember what we read in Exodus 14. Remember what we read in Exodus 23. Now look at this verse. And this is God speaking. "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Now, is he talking about himself? Is he talking about the angel? Well, okay, hold on. Daniel chapter 3. Yes and yes. Daniel chapter 3. It's no fair, Brandon. You can just point and click. I saw you do that. Boom, you're there. Daniel chapter 3. Now you remember these three rascals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. They said in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Daniel, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. This is what you're saying we got to do. We got to bow down to you, bow down to your laws, bow down to your worship. But the believer says, there's nothing more important than worshiping God, so we're not going to do it. And I won't say anything about what's going on today, in today's laws and governors overstretching, overreaching. He says, no, we're not going to be careful. So when you play this flute, we're not going to bow down. So when, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar the king was full of fury in the form of his visions, which changed against these three, therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. So hot that it killed all those that were hanging on to these three, getting ready to cast them into the furnace. Verse 23, "For these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form, the angel of the fourth, is like the Son of God." You know, what was he there for? Their protection. As he was the Israelites. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We got this, our friend and brother Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22. He's thrown in the lion's den. And the king couldn't sleep because he liked Daniel. But he was tricked into making this decree, which cannot be changed, the Medes and Persians and all that. And then it said, Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. The king woke up the next morning. He says, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver thee? And he says, verse 22, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. They have not hurt me. For as much as God views Daniel in Christ. Now, back to our text in Psalms 34. This particular one verse, the angel of the Lord. Now, it says that he does a few things. I just got 3 points. It says that he does a few things. The first thing is that he encamps round about them that fear him, and the second thing is he delivers them. That's all I got. But let's look at this a little bit deeper. He encampeth round about those who fear him, or his people. This angel, And these other examples of the angel is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. As he often did in the Old Testament, he appeared in angelic form. Jacob wrestled. We know who that was. This man, this angel, this one angel, is more than a guardian angel. He's more than an angel that watches over his people. He does certainly watch over his people. It is as some old writers, matter of fact, most old writers, in this verse 34, chapter 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord, they call this the angel of the covenant. The angel of the covenant. And as such, he, this angel, answers sufficiently to our needs. For by himself he put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. And again, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. So this angel, this Christ, must honor this sacred covenant with God for us at all costs and with all protection. So again, our text says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. He encampeth. That means to pitch a tent. To pitch a tent. Or to set up camp on our behalf and for our eternal protection. On every side. You know, if you want to think about the Western shows, you know, where they circle the wagons, however you want to think it. It says he encamps. And that means he pitches a tent. Sets up camp. On every side, he the Lord and the Lord of hosts are set up to conquer our foes, to thwart Satan's attacks, and to render us without harm. Do we hear this morning? Do I understand this? Do we lay hold of this? We are encircled by our glorious sovereign, so that none or nothing can touch us without his permission. Well, you said, well, Stephen was serving the Lord and then he got stoned. It was with the Lord's permission. You're telling me that what happened to Stephen, and there's no such thing as chance, there's no such thing as luck, you're telling me what happened to him or to Paul or John when he was exiled in Patmos, you're telling me that's not according to God's sovereign will and pleasure? Nobody can get through this ring, these hosts that the Lord oversees for our benefit. And he himself is interested in what he has done for us, and he will see it through. He began a good work, he'll finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. It can't be. The enemies of grace cannot work through this encampment. It can't be done unless he allows it. And that's why we see we have sickness and death and issues that we fear and tremble. And that's human nature. We have the flesh. Job, what an example. What did Satan say? God, he said, God, you got a hedge about him. You better believe he's got a hedge about him. And so does everyone who trusts in Christ here this morning. So if we are assaulted, or if we are attacked, or if we are in a time of trial, our foes must fight through this encampment and they can't succeed, or they are allowed in by God's chastening hand, yet it's all for our good and his glory. And it's easy for me to say, because right now everything is fine. But look at this. Look at how it's worded. The Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps. That's present tense. This watch is a permanent watch set all around us. We are truly hedged about by one who can never be conquered or dominated. No enemy of grace or no enemy of Jehovah can touch us. It is said by the Lord in the book of Acts, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Says our Lord, to establish his rule and reign among men. And he was talking to the Apostle Paul. Before he was apostle, he was just Saul of Tarsus. Turn with me to 2 Kings. I love this passage. I just asked Linda where it was at. She told me, so we're going to look at it. 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Okay, there's the Syrians are getting ready to attack again. In verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 6, therefore sent he thither of the king horses, chariots, and great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I'd been just like him. I'd been looking for any place to run or hide. And Elisha, he answered, fear not. There you go. Don't fear. Do not fear. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open my servant's eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The Lord is also called the Lord of hosts. He's also called the captain of hosts. If we could, and I'm serious as I could, if we could just, by faith, look and see, everywhere we are encamped, everywhere we are surrounded by blood. The death angel, whatever form it takes, human or other, it can't enter in. We are under the blood. It's not just here. Everywhere we look, and it moves with us. We are encamped by the angel, or by the covenant angel, the angel of the covenant, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are totally encompassed. The angel, or our Christ, our Savior, our Mediator, our covenant bearer, has us circled on all sides, all the time, in every situation, and in every circumstance. May we walk by faith and see this. My dear brethren, I was thinking of something to say, but I'm going to delete it. I'll edit my own self. And if we want to talk about it later, we can. But I thought it was very interesting. But it deals specifically with this. Anything or at any time God has to allow things to even get close to us. It can't get close to us unless it comes through that encampment. And if it's coming through that encampment, he's allowing it. We have a fixed watch, a permanent protection, a all sentineled by our captain of our salvation, our sweet and supreme Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing in this text. He says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivers them. And delivers, plural, and is in the process. He's currently delivering us. And I got to thinking about this, and I use a silly example because this is the best thing I could come up with. Okay, let's say we're hiking and we're walking, and there's places in southern Illinois, and there's swampy areas, and there is quicksand in certain parts of this country, not in foreign lands. And let's say you fall in. And if it's true quicksand, you're probably not getting out. What difference does it make? It does. If you're up to your knees and somebody comes and pulls you out, you're delivered. If you're up to here, right below your nose, and you're delivered, you're still delivered. The intensity, the human intensity, is what we struggle with. And I want to go through a trial, but I want to go just up to my ankles, right? You know what I'm saying? So I'm not discounting the intensity of the deliverance, but I'm telling you, he says he'll deliver us. And if it's through death, like our brother Don is going through, and he said it's the most beautiful walk, it is, but it may not be 10 years from before. I don't want to go. So whatever the intensity of the trial, the difficulty, the curse, the trouble, the enemy, it still delivers. We're still delivered. So notice again in our text, it says he delivers them. I believe we little know how many times we have been delivered. And that word means rescues, or means be snatched out. That's what it literally means. To be snatched out from danger. To be delivered means to be rescued. You know what that is. You understand rescue. If you don't understand that, you understand being snatched. You know, my dad, 6 foot whatever, how many times I was a little kid and get in trouble, just literally snatched me. It pulled me out. Drowning, pulled me out. Delivered. Oh, we don't know how many times we've been truly delivered from worldly harm, Satan's grasp, or our own fleshly appetites. Sometimes we don't know what's best for ourselves. We think we do. And then our spouse or our brother or our friend in Christ will say, is that right? Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're getting ready to do. That's just my opinion. But we encourage one another to communicate to one another. But we know the whole matter of the thing is that the Lord's angel, his covenant angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, encamps around about us. And he will deliver us. Only a total superior or a complete sovereign can easily and successfully deliver his sheep. And we are in much need of rescue, my brethren, on a daily basis. We are so weak. We're so sinful. We're so insignificant. We're so helpless. Matter of fact, that's one reason why we're called sheep. Sheep. Sheep are gregarious. Goats like to roam around by themselves. But sheep, we need one another. We have to have one another. But in case we go wandering, the Lord goes and there's these 99 sheep that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But then you got that one. Well, there's better food over here. I'm going to move my whole family away from the gospel or this or that or whatever. I'm going to do all these different things that I just feel like I can do. I'm going to do this and do that. And it goes, it's greener pastures over here. Our greener pastures over here. And the Lord says, well, I got to go get them again. Some old writers say that he breaks one of the legs so it can't run away again and throws it off and carries it back. And that's, we're just so weak. That's us. We need daily rescue. Jesus paid it all. Jesus rescued us all, his sheep, his people. Jesus delivered or truly snatched us from this vile world. He is our great physician, our glorious shepherd, our true balm in Gilead, our ever-glorious Jacob's ladder, our ark, our dayspring, our kinsman, and of course, our covenant angel. Third point, in closing, for whom does he do all these things and more for? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them and delivers them. Who's them? It's in our text. That fear him. That word, that Hebrew phrase, that fear him, or as the Hebrew states, to live with a sense of reverential awe of. It's not a slavish fear. It's not, you know, like Tim would say, he's got a message called whips and biscuits. That's what preachers do today. They'll either reward you, you can get some biscuits, or you do what I say. I'm your righteousness. I'm the rule of your rule of life. And then when the next pastor comes in, we got to relearn all this. That's what work says. It's crazy. It's just works. It's always different, this and that. But the grace of God is ever the same. It's why it's called the everlasting gospel. Never changes. So whom does he do all this and more for? Those who have been given a heart and a mind and a soul to sense reverence towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And this comes not by our efforts or our works or our supposed goodness or even our ineffectual decisions. But it comes only by the grace of God, by the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the enabling or workings of God the Holy Spirit. So I close and I ask myself this, and I ask you this. Do I fear or reverence Jehovah God? Do you know you do or you don't? Do we honor and submit to the Blessed Son? I think as Isaiah said, who will go? He said, Lord, send me. That's what we do. That's what you do. I'll honor you and I'll submit to the Blessed Son. Do we desire the sweet and tender influence of the Holy Spirit that says peace, it whispers peace? Do we have that? Do we reverence the Father, submit the Son, and desire the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit? Oh, to be under the shadow of our Lord's wings and to be encamped round about by the covenant angel or the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Scott, would you close us, please?